Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. It's Thursday, so this is an archive show, first published as a newspaper column and podcast episode sometime in the last 10 years. Thanks for downloading, and I hope you enjoy our show. This story was first published on January 11th of 2010 under the headline, Bing Cherry Has Roots on the Oregon Trail. Here we go. Among cherry aficionados, the deep red Bing is the gold standard. Rich and sweet, almost like chocolate in its intensity of flavor, this cherry utterly dominates the supermarket and is most people's favorite variety. But few people realize that this variety of cherry would not exist today if a Quaker nurseryman named Henderson Lewelling had not brought its progenitors all the way to Oregon from Iowa along the old Oregon Trail in 1847. Other events hinged on this as well. Fellow Quaker John Minthorne's Oregon Land Company, 40 years later, made a specialty of developing orchards to sell, a business plan obviously dependent on the tradition Lewelling imported. Without the Oregon Land Company, Minthorne's teenage nephew, Herbert Hoover, would likely not have gotten the early training in sound business practices that were to be so important in his early career as an engineer, and his later career as other things, too. Lewelling left the city of Salem, Iowa in 1847 with a specially constructed wagon full of grafted fruit trees, 700 of them in all, ranging from tiny slips to 4-foot-tall trees. The family, Henderson, his wife Elizabeth, and 8 children, traveled with 2 other Quaker families, the Hockettes and the Fishers. In all, they made up a train of 7 wagons, counting the trees. Along the way, they tried to travel with other emigrants, but friction developed because of the trees. The tree wagon was extraordinarily heavy and hence slow. It also attracted noticeable attention from Native Americans, which made everyone very nervous. So the other emigrants forged ahead. This was likely a mistake on their part. Lewelling was later told that many Native Americans saw trees as sacred and considered that a wagon train carrying trees over the mountains was under the protection of the Great Spirit or God, or however their tradition conceptualized the divine. Whether for this or other reasons, not only did the Lewellings have no quote-unquote Indian trouble, but when the pregnant Elizabeth went into labor during the Columbia River part of the journey, they happily loaded her into a canoe and paddled her to the Dalles for medical attention. She gave birth to the family's 9th child, a girl named Oregon Columbia Lewelling, on the way there. Then the powerful and dangerous Columbia Cascades had to be shot, trees and all. Again, Native Americans happily helped, retrieving a runaway flatboat that had missed the takeout point and was headed into more danger. By the time Henderson and Elizabeth got to their destination, in Milwaukee, they had lost only half the trees. Along the way, though, they'd gained a child and a large cohort of Native friends. They'd also gained the opportunity to start what would become one of Oregon's most important industries. Besides the Bing cherry, the Lewelling family went on to develop the Black Republican, Lincoln, and Willamette cherries, the Golden Prune, the Sweet Alice apple, and several fruits bearing the Lewelling name. By the way, the story of the Lewelling's journey is the basis for Deborah Hopkins' children's book, Apples to Oregon, one of the Oregon Reads book selections for last year's, that is, 2009's, sesquicentennial celebration. The book springboards off the story to generate a tall tale about the journey. One other story springs from the Lewelling family, too, and although it is not one of which Henderson Lewelling's relatives were or are particularly proud, it does need to be at least mentioned here. In 1859, Lewelling, having established his nursery business and then moved it subsequently to Oakland, California, joined a wild-eyed spiritual group called the Harmonial Brotherhood Free Love Society and slipped off in the middle of the night to help them found a commune in Honduras, leaving his wife destitute and the rest of his family outraged. His brother, Seth, changed the spelling of his last name after this, probably to avoid being associated with Henderson. The commune project did not end well, and Lewelling returned to the West Coast with his tail between his legs, living in the San Francisco Bay Area under a pseudonym for some time after that. Key sources in this story included works by Ralph Beebe, Patricia Wagner and the archives of the Sacramento Daily Union. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. What you've been listening to is one of more than 550 stories originally created and published as newspaper columns in first-run syndication between 2008 and today. You can read them all at offbeatoregon.com. Offbeat Oregon is a division of Pulplit Productions, pulp-lit.com, a boutique publishing house owned and operated by yours truly, specializing in audiobook and multimedia editions of the work of the classic pre-war pulp writers. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license type CC by SA 4.0, which basically means you can do anything with the content you like, so long as you A, give me credit for it, and B, whatever you make is also released under a Creative Commons license. But if you need a waiver to either A or B, hit me up, fj@offbeatoregon.com. I've never said no yet to a request for a waiver of one of those conditions. They're generally there just to prevent me from accidentally authorizing the reuse of something I don't actually control the rights to. A good example might be a photograph used by special permission of the rights holder. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Questions, critiques, ideas for a future episode? Email me at fj@offbeatoregon.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every single weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.